As I said at the beginning of the service, we mark today the beginning of the church or Christian year, the beginning of the season of Advent, the period that precedes the festival of Christmas. Why does it fall today? I remember having to explain this actually to the head teacher of a Church of England primary school in England. Well, I thought ought to have known better. But it is always four Sundays before Christmas. So Advent Sunday can fall any day from the 27th of November, which is what it will be next year, through to the 3rd of December. Despite what Advent calendar manufacturers believe, who think Advent begins every year on the 1st of December. What are the origins of this season of Advent? Well, as I mentioned in introducing the confession, it is similar to Lent, hence we use the purple colour, or blue. The colour of your order of service was the nearest cop I had to purple for printing the orders of service. But it is just as Lent was meant to be originally a period of fasting and preparation for new adult converts to be baptised on Easter Day, so Advent also was seen similarly. People would go through a period of preparation, of fasting, ready for baptism on the Feast of Epiphany, the 6th of January. You can see the links. The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, meaning coming, the translation of the Greek parousia. And it refers to Christ's promised second coming, which is a particular focus for us today on Advent Sunday, before we prepare ourselves to celebrate his first coming at Christmas. And again, as I said in introducing the confession, like Lent before Easter, so Advent before Christmas is meant to be a penitential season of preparation for the great festival. But of course, it so easily gets squeezed out. The commercial pressures of Christmas. People think it's already Christmas. We have new neighbours on the ground floor where we live. She's already got the lights all out on the trees in the bit of garden that the ground floor flat has. Of course, inevitably, many folk here work in schools or have children in schools here, international schools, and you need to celebrate Christmas before you break up for the Christmas holidays. And of course, so many of this congregation do go away at Christmas time to be back with family and friends in their respective countries. Yes, the first person has asked me whether Sybil and I are going anywhere for Christmas. Happens every year. Wasn't a member of this congregation, but it's somebody who knows what I do, but there we go. Yes, it is so easy to let Advent be squeezed out in trying to celebrate Christmas early. And so I have three challenges for you this morning, and this is the first one. Despite all the pressures to be busy in this season, try to find within Advent time and space for some quiet and reflection. To prepare yourself, to prepare ourselves, so we are ready to once again welcome the Christ child. To more deeply understand what it meant for God to take human flesh and become incarnate, as we put it. Yes, try to resist the commercial pressure, the busyness pressure. Find time to be still, to reflect, so that we are ready to celebrate what Christmas actually is all about. The other change of today, as well as the liturgical colour and into the new Christian year, is that we move into year C. Now, that probably is lost on many people, but we follow a three-year cycle of biblical readings, originally put together by the Roman Catholic Church, but much more widely adopted across the Christian spectrum, three-year cycle of lectionary Bible readings that we follow, A, B, and C. And today marks the beginning of year C, in which the Gospel of Luke is usually from which the Gospel reading is taken on Sunday. Year A, of course, is Matthew. B is Mark. C is Luke. John gets slotted in, particularly in year B, because Mark is short. And, of course, also at festivals. We'll have the beginning part of John chapter 1 at Christmas, and the water into wine from John chapter 2 in the Epiphany season. Luke's Gospel, which, of course, we had the Gospel reading from this morning, if I'm honest, is my favourite of all the four Gospels. And a lot of things to note about it. Written by a Gentile, whereas the other three were written by Jews. It was written for someone. If you read the opening verses, it's written for a man called Theophilus, whose name means beloved of God. It appears he commissioned Luke to write it. I think it was Luke probably got what we might call a first century publisher's advance, you know, to actually help him find the time to research and write the gospel. Luke also acknowledges that others have written and he's not afraid about Jesus and is not afraid to use what they wrote. He uses good chunks of Mark's gospel. Usually thought he quotes and uses material from a document called Q, of some sayings of Jesus. Of course, in the first century, the law of copyright didn't exist. He's also very good at putting things in its historical context. We'll actually hear it in the Gospel reading next Sunday, the first couple of verses of Luke chapter 3. Luke also has, don't get me wrongly, an interest in women. Now, women feature quite strongly in what he writes, Mary, the mother of Jesus in particular. Luke also has a great concern for the poor and wants to show Jesus' concern for the poor. And of course, Luke's Gospel is the only one that has a sequel, the Acts of the Apostles. So here's my second challenge to you, and I know I've challenged people in Advent about this before. I am at risk of repeating myself, something my wife tells me I do quite regularly. How about using Advent, not allowing for the fact that Advent actually doesn't begin on the 1st of December, but from the 1st of December you do have 24 days to Christmas, and Luke has 24 chapters. Why not try and read one a day? If you start today, you can probably divide up chapters 1 and 2, which actually are quite long. A chapter a day through Advent. Yes, you'll end up at the crucifixion and the resurrection just before Christmas, but it is a reminder that the infant in the manger was born to die. We don't just leave him in the manger, which is what so many people, of course, want to do. Use Advent to read through Luke, remind yourself of the gospel story, and also, of course, prepare us for the whole Christian year when we're here, sections of Luke read as the gospel reading Sunday by Sunday. My second challenge. In the Creed, as we come to my third challenge in a moment, we will say he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, speaking of Jesus. Words that I guess many of us very easily say by rote as we recite the Nicene Creed. But I do ask the question, do we really believe what we say? On this Advent Sunday, we are asked to think seriously about Christ's promised second advent, his second coming. Not as a helpless babe lying in a manger, but in glory to judge the living and the dead. So here's my third and final challenge. Both St. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, as we heard in our second reading, and Jesus speaking to his disciples, as we heard in the Gospel reading, tells the readers or hearers to live in the light of the promised second advent, to be ready. The Thessalonians are told by Paul to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, echoes of two Sundays ago. He also tells them to provoke one another to love and good works, and has a call to holiness, strengthen your hearts in holiness. And why does he tell the Thessalonian Christians to do that? That you may be blameless before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Likewise, in Luke chapter 21, our gospel reading, and you'll find similar words in Mark chapter 13 or Matthew chapter 24, after all the various things that are going to happen have been listed, the passage ends with a final exhortation to be on your guard, or be alert at all times. As another translation puts it, be always on the watch, so that the day does not catch you unexpectedly. Good advice for Advent. Don't get distracted by too much partying. Notice the call against dissipation and drunkenness that there is in the gospel reading. Or, and this so easily happens to us, be weighed down by the worries of this life. No, says Jesus, be alert, be aware of what God is doing, wanting to do in your life and in the life of others. So, at the advent of this Advent, if you'll excuse my play on words, I challenge you these three things. And I challenge myself just as much as I challenge you. Try to create space to prepare for the celebration of Christ's first Advent at Christmas. Maybe use that then space to read through Luke's Gospel, chapter a day. And thirdly, as always, let us be alert and ready for that day when, as we shall sing in our final hymn this morning, every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty, that promised second advent. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.